Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition, primetime edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this 3rd of September 2013 as we discuss episode 512, Rabbit Dogs of Breaking Bad, of course, season 5B. As always, I'm joined by my special guest, Robert Sapp. Robert, how are you doing this evening?
Doing pretty good. Fairly excited. We're halfway through.
Yep, we're at halftime, at the halfway point, just 4 hours remaining of the program, and we're going to get started with the opening scene. You had it basically leave off where episode three left off, where Walt is going. You know, Walt's going to back to his house. He got the message from Saul, looking for Jesse. He sees Saul's car. He busts in the house with a gun, with a 38. And 38 snub, and there's no Jesse to be found there. And this was filmmaking, this was directing at its finest, because number one, you don't know where Jesse's at, and two, you know, Walt goes through the house, he goes through all the rooms, he checks everything, and then it gets to a point to where he reaches where he, you know, he calls Jesse out. And then you see Walt looking at this final room. He's looking at this final room where he hasn't went into as of yet. Walks towards the room, and then, boom, episode starts off. The episode then goes to the original score, and you don't know from that point on, you don't know what happens. So to me, that was brilliant in terms of holding the audience, wondering where Jesse's at. You know, Walt has the gun. I thought that was a great, great opening scene. You don't know what happened to Jesse. You don't know if he could be hiding. Yeah, I thought that was a great directing by, I think Sam Catlin directed this
particular
episode. He's done like the second most episodes of any director in Breaking Bad.
He wrote it also.
Yeah, directed and wrote it. So he did a tremendous job with that particular scene. What was your thoughts on that opening scene?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like it's a good scene because it's kind of like it's a microcosm of the show and what they're trying to do this season. Like you pointed out so astutely last episode, we know it's not we. If we go back to the flashback at the beginning of this season, the shortened season, the second part of season 5, we know the house isn't burnt. So we knew it wasn't going to burn down, but just like you said, the way that scene developed, it's just like you don't know what's going to happen. And it felt a lot like the episode, like, Crawl Space or any one of those, like, really intense, like, where you're just like, oh, man, like, something crazy is going to happen. And it just built that tension that was just, like, that just set up the entire episode. And so I thought it was, as you said, excellent directed, excellent just across the board, the way that it was shot, the way that it was directed. But I just think it's such like a good example of what they're trying to do this season, where they've shown you we've shown you the end game pretty much, but you don't know all the little details of how we're going to get there, and that is going to be the journey.
So from there we go into Walt now in pure scramble mode. He has the cleaning crew in his house, smelling of course gasoline, and he then comes up with the brilliant idea, and I'll say that sarcastically, of course, taking his clothes off and soaking them in gasoline and then coming up with this hideous story. And I'll get to the story in a minute about the busted gas pump and what have you. But then the funny part about this scene with the cleaning crew, you know, they're scrubbing, they're airbrushing, they're going hard trying to get that smell out of the house. And he's like, Walt gets on the cleaning crew, like, hey, I need this done by, you know, a couple of hours. My wife's coming home. I'm like, Walt, this is gasoline.
This is not
coming out.
You are not going to clean
the smell of gasoline out in days or weeks, let alone a couple of hours. Like the guy told Walt, listen, sir, you have to remove the carpet and go from there, and you know, things of that nature. And Walt clearly wasn't trying to hear that. So again, he comes up with the idea of soaking his clothes in gasoline, and then telling Skyler and Walt Jr. one of probably the worst lie in Breaking Bad history. And the looks on the faces of Walt Jr. and Skyler were like priceless, because they knew he was full of shit. Basically, and he's just rambling, blah, 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 and only in Walt's mind can this story be believable, because nobody, even Junior, when Walt Junior doesn't buy your story, you know the lies that isn't any good. So neither one of them believed him. Skyler waited later on in the episode to call him out, and we'll get to that. Walt Junior immediately calls him out, says that, you know, just tell the truth, you feign it. Your cancer's back, and so on, and it went from there. But the story about the gas pump, I'm like, Walt, come on, really, the gas pump busting your clothes. I mean, I forgot to take. What did he say? I left my clothes when I was in the midst of. Walt, come on.
Yeah,
it got worse.
It didn't make sense.
As he kept going, it got worse.
But here's the thing. About Breaking Bad, because you said it was the worst story in Breaking Bad history, and
it's up there, it was,
but it was on purpose, but it wasn't far off from some of the stuff that Walt has said before. And I think what's so great about what the writing did with this, and like in the moment, it's just like Walt has told so many lies. He's told so many lies that it's just like even the audience, Skyler, his son, Walter Jr., everybody has the same reaction, like, come on, Walt. No, like, stop. Like, no, stop. This is too much. Everything is a complex, like, this has to happen, and this is happening, and this is happening. It's just like, stop already. And I think, like, that's the kind of the building momentum that we're starting to see with this season and what's going to happen. It's just that people aren't buying what Walt's selling anymore. In the beginning of the series, that story would have worked out. You know, everybody would be like, oh, that's, you know, crazy Walt or something like Walt did, or, you know, oh, that's just, you know, that might have passed in the beginning of the series. But at this point in time where we're at, even like you said, his son knows he's lying. He doesn't know exactly why he's lying, but he knows he's lying.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The story itself, listen, if me or you told that story, it would be somewhat believable. It would be questionable, but somewhat believable. So the story itself wasn't that crazy. It was more about who was telling it. Let me correct myself
exactly.
on that. It was more about who was telling it and how many lies have come out of this guy's mouth, and the fact that he makes, instead of telling a simple lie, he turns it into, you know,
so
conspiracy theory. He turns it into, like, he combines lie on top. He doesn't even give the first lie a chance to breathe. Like, you get one half of the first lie, then you get lie number two, three, and four. The first lie, like, man, I can't even breathe. Let me expand myself. he doesn't even give his lies a chance to breathe. Before you got two or three or four more lies coming right on top of each other. So that was more about, that was, again, and to me, from what I took of that particular scene is, and I think what the show is doing right now is, and I posted this on Facebook, is Walt slipping. And to me, that is an example of a slow death for Walt. Because, no, like you said, nobody's buying these lies anymore. They're getting more unbelievable at each turn. And that, to me, that's just the way of, I mean, he used to be a great liar. He used to be the best. I mean, he used to be the absolute best liar of all liars. But now these lies are like, okay, Walt, really? So to me, that's the genius of the writing, showing you, not painting him in a corner, but without doing it in a way that they did in season 3 with the cousins chasing him, or with Gus Fring in season 4 hating him and wanting him dead. They're painting him in a corner. Again, it's like a slow death, so to speak. It's slow, but not slow. So I think that was an example. I think the preposterity of his lies are an example of the end being near for Walt, for one Walter White. But again, it was not what he said wasn't that off the charts. Again, it was who, it was the fact that he said it. So you go from there to the Jesse and Jesse Hank partnership. Now we find out that opening scene, we were wondering what happened to Jesse. Well, what happened to Jesse is Hank followed him from Saul's place and Saul's office, and then was able to apprehend him before Walt got there. And in reality, Hank saved Jesse's life, because I don't know about you, but I'll take a gun over a bucket of gasoline in any fight, to be honest with you. So I think Hank saved his life. And also, I read a lot of stuff, people questioning, well, how could Hank be there that fast? And it was too perfect. Remember, go back to the last episode. This is why you have to pay attention to this show, close attention to this show. When Gomez goes into Hank's office and says and tells him about the dudes who are on Pinkman, Gomez complains, says, Hank, you already got history with this guy. Why are my guys on him? Hank says, basically, Hank, without a fight, says, you know what, take him off. But then his secretary comes in and says, you have a 3 o'clock meeting or whatever. Hank says, you know what, I'm taking the rest of the day off. That is when Hank went and followed Jesse at that moment, I believe.
That's a good catch. Yeah.
So to me, that connection, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense from the standpoint of Hank is relentless. He wasn't going to quit based on that confession by Walt. He was going to take Gomez, quiet Gomez down, and he was going to make it like, I'll follow him myself. So I had no problem with Hank all of a sudden showing up and connecting and getting Jesse. So Hank takes Jesse. Jesse, of course, is all coked up with on meth. You know, he's ready. You know, he's just ready to just destroy something. And he was going to set the place on fire without question. He was going to do it. And, of course, Hank talks him out of it. Jesse has a breakdown saying Walt always gets away with it. And they go from there. And, of course, Hank takes Jesse to his house. So what were your thoughts on that particular scene?
Well, my thoughts were I was right. I was just right a week late. Jesse is gonna pour everything out. So that that's what I predicted. I was a week late. But my favorite part of that scene is when Jesse just screams like he can't keep getting away with it. Like, that was just like, I was like, whoosh, I'm Jesse. I feel you, man. I feel you so much. I'm with you on this. He can't keep getting away with it. And it's just like, I don't know if that's like the turning point for Jesse, because I talked to our mutual friend, and I was like, with Breaking Bad right now, I'm like, on rolling percentages. And so I think after last week, I was near 50-50 that Jesse was going to die. I was like, ooh, 50-50. Now that percentage has gotten to, like, I think 70-30 he lives. or he's the one who he's the one who's part of Walter's, who's a major part of Walter's demise, and that just that part right there might be like the turning point for Jesse. Just like this, like he can't keep getting away with it. I could not have felt Jesse more in that moment than at any other point in time in the series. Well, probably maybe second season when stuff is going on. But that moment right there, I was just like, yes, that is the sentiment that we all, like, the show wants us all to have right now. We're just so tired of Walt getting away with everything that we want to see him get his comeuppance, which could also be a setup. They could be setting us up. I totally recognize that as well.
I have an opinion on that particular scream and rant that Jesse had, and I'll save it for a little bit later.
Okay.
I'll save
all
it.
Right. Okay.
So from then on, now in regards to the Hank and Jesse partnership, and maybe, all right, I'll even save that for a little bit. I'll get into more of these scenes. So, because I want to get into the Hank and Jesse dynamic. So a couple of funny things that came out of the Hank and Jesse thing in regards to Jesse being in his house. The meeting with Marie.
Yes.
Which to me was similar with, which kind of similar when, it was probably even more intense, but kind of similar when Jesse was in Walt's house. And Skylar saw Jesse is like, "What the hell are you doing here?" But of course, Marie is all for it because it hurts Walt. So she
that was one of the great Breaking Bad moments. Is this bad for Walt?
I'm making lasagna. He's good. So then, let me slide her in because I think this is. This is a curveball that Breaking Bad can throw at you, but I'm not going to go for it. Marie meets with a psychiatrist, right, meeting with a psychiatrist, and tells the psychiatrist that she spent 6 hours, okay, 6 hours on the internet doing researching untraceable poisons.
Right.
Really? So I'm not going to fall for that one. In terms of her being somebody's going to kill Walt, I'm not. That is a curveball that they're trying to throw at you. I'm not going for it. I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, shocked upon shocked if Marie kills Walt. I'm just sorry. It would shock the hell out of me.
So I'm not going for
that one. So Walt has a meeting with Saul. And another in a character called Cubby in the car. And basically, for the second time in as many episodes, Saul is like, "Look, you gotta take care of this. You gotta get rid of it. I mean, you know, if anybody seen the movie Old Yeller, you compare Jesse to Old Yeller and the dog that eventually got bit by and had to be put down. And he says, You gotta get rid of him." And, you know, Walt, of course, you know, basically says, "No, I can, you know, basically I can talk to him," and so on. And you know, basically calling out Saul, you're full of euphemisms or whatever. You're full of I don't think he used the word euphemisms with he might. I think he might have said that. He might have said euphemisms talking about Belize with Mike and what have you.
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah.
He's yeah, he
full
did.
Of colorful analogies. I think he might have.
Yeah,
said.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he did say that. So he basically, at this point, you are convinced that Walt does not want to kill Jesse. I mean, he was fully. It wasn't any like this is slick Walt. This was genuine Walt, really not wanting to, not even thinking about killing Jesse at this point. So they had the conversation, and then Jesse wakes up. because Hank gave him some sleeping pills to kind of sleep off the meth that he had sniffed earlier in the episode. So he wakes up, and then Hank convinces Jesse to confess everything that is going on in regards to what is happening with Walt and Jesse and the cooking and all the killings and just everything. He has the confessional tape. Jesse begins when I first met Mr. White back in junior high school in chemistry, and then they cut off. He does the rest of the interview off camera, and Hank and Gomez have a conversation about what is the next move. So Gomez basically says, look, the kid might be right. All we have is, you know, word, his word against your word. There's no physical evidence. What if, you know, so on and so on. Hank's basically like, look, we can get the wire confession. We can get the wire confession we can get him on a wire. If you don't get him on a wire, at least if he does kill him, then so be it. We got him killing Jesse. So Hank is like, whatever. I will sacrifice his life to catch Walt, basically. That is the venom that Hank feels towards Walt. Like he was willing to sacrifice Jesse in order to get at Walt. So they put the plans in motion for Jesse, who at first, again, is totally against wearing a wire, and I skipped that. Because Jesse has a conversation with both of them, basically saying, look, he's smarter than you. He's the luckiest man ever. He's the devil. You guys won't get it. Like Jesse, in his mind, this dude is like a mythical, he's like a god. He's a devil and a god. He's like, he is so much in Jesse's head, and I'll talk, and we'll certainly add more to that later in the episode. He's so much in Jesse's head, it's not even funny how Walt is just, like, he owns Jesse. He basically owns Jesse. So Jesse's trying to convince them, like, look, you're not going to catch him with a wire. You're going to get me killed. So Hank basically says, listen, you really don't have an option. And that's when Gomez had the conversation with Hank saying that the kid might be right.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to the Jesse. Talk about that scene with Hank Gomez and then Jesse, those two particular scenes, because I kind of combined them with them wanting to set up the wire for Walt.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what you said. It's two parts. It's one, you see the venom that Hank has for Walt now. And it's kind of like what we were talking about in last episode. Is like he's relentless, and now he's like laser focused to a point where it doesn't matter the collateral damage that it's going to cause. He just wants to get Walt right there. I think with the second part of that is with the conversation that he and Gomez had was about, like, you know, how are we going to set this up? Like, it's not going to be enough to just go and turn the tape over and it just be like that. Like, it's going to be more involved. It's going to be more complicated. And it's figuring out Hank's, like, laser-like focus and something that will collect enough evidence that will actually bring about the downfall of Walt.
I'm gonna get to the Jesse.
I actually think this is another curveball, to be honest with you.
With Hank and Jesse?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna get to the Hank and Jesse relationship, the dynamic. I don't trust it. I think that, and we'll talk about it later in the episode. I just don't. I think that the mix. I don't think it's a good mix, to be honest with you. Like, I was thinking about it as when they came together, and I was thinking about some of the other shows that I love and these mixes that came out of nowhere that have worked out and have been natural mixes. And my first thought was, of course, Brother Muzon and Omar. I'm like, yeah, when they were enemies, but when they came together, you knew that whoever they came against, it was a wrap. And you knew that they were naturally, like, they were a perfect mix, two opposites, highly skilled. Even with our other show, Boardwalk Empire, with Capone and Chalky, hated each other, races, whatever. But when they put that aside for the few seconds, they destroyed stuff. Like, we knew how deadly they could be. With this mix, I'm like, there's no real trust factor to me for this to work out. And that was I thought about this even before the scene that we haven't gotten to. Like, I'm like, when they came about, I was like, I don't blame the writing. The writing is fine. I have no problem with the writers writing them to writing them collaborating from that standpoint. But I'm just like, this mix is not like, I don't like this mix in terms of Catching Walt. This is not how Walt gets caught with these two being the primary factor. That's just the primary reason. That's just what I thought when they got together. So then yeah. Walt and Skylar, and first of all, if I ever go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, this is a hotel that I'm going to. This hotel,
that was balling.
this is one of the sickest hotels that I've seen. Just it was just crazy. They did a great job of picking out that hotel. That's a hotel that somebody worth $80 million should be staying at. So Skylar and Walt at the hotel, and Skylar is already drinking, who can blame her? Skylar has a couple of vodkas. Walt is about to, mix his Coke with a vodka, his drink of choice, and then, Skylar brings up Jesse, and they go at it as far as what to do about Jesse, and this is when Skylar, if you don't believe Skylar is now Mrs. Heisenberg, Skylar is Mrs. Heisenberg. Skylar basically ordered a hit on Jesse, saying, look, you need to handle this problem. What if he changes his mind? Walt is the compassionate one. This was hilarious to me to see Walt as trying to be the voice of somewhat reason, as a compassionate one who still. And again, I think I know what direction you were going in with that. This is why I believe that Walt genuinely loves Jesse. Because how many times has he heard in the last couple episodes, you should kill him, you should kill him, you should kill him. So you heard it twice in this episode that you should kill him before the final scene. And Skylar's like, Skylar's basically like, look, what is one more? I mean, you've killed Gus, you've killed this person, Walt's killed people that she probably doesn't even know about. But she's like, she basically says, what is one more? Skylar's like, you've come this far, why stop here? Like, Skylar's I'm going to protect my family at all costs. We've already done enough dirt. There's no cleaning this dirt off. That's to me where Skylar's at right now.
Yeah. And she basically, I definitely thought about conversations while I was watching that scene. And it was definitely telling. I did not anticipate her going there like that. I think that is Skylar showing her hand. She's going to go down with this ship. I can't see it happening any other way, because you're absolutely right. She's basically telling Walt to take Jesse out, period.
Yeah, it was no. She wasn't missing words. She basically ordered a hit. it was no two ways about it. And I think Walt, and to me, this is where also some. Now, we'll see what happens with the next episode, but Walt, Walt as Heisenberg wouldn't have needed any convincing to kill Jesse. This is when actually Walt needs to be Heisenberg and doesn't need to be compassionate at this point. So that to me was a sign of slippage from him as well. Like, your wife is actually saying what you should be thinking and what you should be doing right now, as far as when it comes to Jesse. So then they meet. So then we had the final scene where you have Jesse, Hank, Gomez in the van. Jesse has agreed to meet up with Walt. Before that, Hank convinces Jesse to meet up with Walt because Hank has picked up on what we all know, that Walt has a soft spot for Jesse. So Hank can be suggested, listen, he won't kill you because, you know, he saved your life. He's done this for you. He's done that for you. He know, you know, he knows you're loyal to him. So Hank has picked up on the fact that Walt will be loyal towards Jesse. And he uses that, he manipulates Jesse into that meeting, uses that against Jesse to convince Jesse to go to that meeting. Jesse goes for it, uses the, they tape the wire on him. And again, brilliant setup by the director, Catlin. You have Walt sitting at the bench at this place called the Plaza, crowd of people, Gomez, Hank watching from the van. And Jesse, all of a sudden, this is where, you know, the fact that Walt is in his head started to come out. All of a sudden, Jesse started seeing, you know, like the sixth sense, started seeing ghosts that come out of nowhere. Jesse, you thought he was hallucinating with just every person that just came, like, in his vision, he saw as a potential threat. And it got to a point to where he basically outsmarted himself. He saw it now. This is where the directing was brilliant. There's this muscle-bound dude, bald-headed, standing about 20 feet away from Walt, who looks like somebody who he looks like muscle. Let's be honest. He looks like muscle. And I even thought that this is one of Saul's guys, to be honest with you. And Jesse sees him. And Jesse, at that point, Jesse says, hell no, I'm not doing it. So he doesn't meet up with Walt. He goes to a payphone. And at that point, you know, this was unrealistic, but I thought for a second, just for a split second, that he was gonna tell Walt that that Hank was wearing a wire and watching him. For a split second, I thought that he might turn on Hank, but that of course was not the case. He tells Walt, you know what? I'm not gonna get you like this. I know where you really live. He thinks the dude, again, is muscle. I'm not going to fall for your trap. It turns out, in reality, the dude was just a regular Joe waiting for his daughter. And that had Jesse went along with Hank's plan, they would have had Walt dead to right. So, of course, Jesse gets picked up by Hank. Hank is absolutely pissed off. And then Jesse explains to Hank, I know that there's another way. I can get him another way.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like, this is. I think I see it in a little bit of a different light than you. To me, this is the great. This will be the great irony of this show and of this ending, that at a moment in which Walt was showing some empathy and some kindness, showing some sympathy and some genuine feelings. I won't go as far as love, but showing some genuine care for Jesse, that because of all the stuff that Walt has done. I think that's what we have to keep pointing back to, right? Like that picture, like I'll go back to that scene where he's cutting, where Hank, like in the first episode, where Hank, and it's just like all of the damage that Walt has done. And then cutting back to what Jesse is saying, he can't just keep getting away with it. I think that will be the great irony of the show, which is why I moved my percentage 70-30, that Jesse is part of Walt's ultimate downfall, is that all the stuff that Walt has done made Jesse so distrustful in that moment. And ultimately, when this whole thing is said and done, and hopefully Jesse puts that nail in Walt's coffin, it will be all the damage that Walt has done that would have drove Jesse to distrust him to the point where even in an honest moment, Jesse couldn't trust the honesty, which I think goes back to kind of like the morality of the show and the morality of the decay of Walter's morality of where in last episode, what we're seeing is all these confessions, all these supposedly heartfelt moments that are total BS, and totally manipulative. You juxtapose that with this episode where Walt is now, you know, spinning his web that everybody's seeing right through him, and then again, that ultimate irony in a moment in which he actually is being genuine, you can't, he's so distrustful that Jesse can't trust it. And so it only makes 100% sense if Jesse is intricate in Walt's downfall.
I think that, and this is the brilliance of this show. First of all, it was a bad move for Jesse not to follow through with Hank's plan. I feel at that particular time that I could turn out to be dead wrong in the next four episodes, because again, Walt would have confessed everything. Like Walt was ready to just, you know, Walt had no idea that Hank is working with Jesse, zero. So they would have had him. But I will say this, and I don't know what's going to happen with Jesse at this point. I'm totally up in the air. I will say this: it does. Now Jesse is in a much better position to attack Walt than he was in the previous episode, because now it's going to be thought out emotion, and who better? Who knows Walt as well as Jesse outside of his wife? Nobody. I mean,
Nobody.
I mean, Jesse. You know, they cook together. They almost died. They almost faced death with each other another time. So he understand. He knows Walt. Walt was his mentor. Like Bumpy Johnson and Frank Lucas. So it's that's his dude. So I think Jesse is in a much better place to attack Walt. The question is, and then I'll go back to the Hank and Jesse dynamic, that trust factor. You know, will they butt heads in terms of how they're going to go about getting Walt? As bad as Hank wants, because I think as bad as Hank wants Walt, Hank wants to do it his way. It's like two superstars on the same team. Simmons uses it all the time. Dominant males. Alpha dogs.
Alpha males.
Same difference. It's like having two of those people on the same team. Both of them want him bad for different reasons. And I'm just wondering about that dynamic. Like, I would have much more confidence in Jesse if he went about it by himself than with Hank, to be honest with you. Like, I really would. I think that, to me, has me still wondering how Jesse's going to go about getting Walt with Hank right there.
Yeah.
Every step of the way. So, again, the brilliance of the show, you just don't know. You just don't know. Last scene, Walt, of course, you know, takes the phone call from Jesse, and then immediately after Hank picks up Jesse, immediately Walt goes and calls Todd and asks for his uncle for a job, for one last job or another job.
Yep.
And then that's where, of course, the show ends. And to me, at this point, you know, Walt said, listen, I had to do what I had to do. Walt was painted in the corner where he at this point has no choice but to go about and trying to kill Jesse. So that was the last. I mean, calling Todd and calling the uncle was the last. You know, that was it. That was it. And Walt's been put in this corner, and so he makes that particular call. What are your thoughts on that call?
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about it before the show. It harkens back to when that episode where we couldn't quite figure out what was going on in the beginning, where Todd is telling stories about Walt and how amazing Walt is, to his uncle, and they go to the bathroom to bless you. And so it harkens back to that beginning. And it's slowly like this feels like something that you can't quite put your finger on. Like, it's definitely not. So anyway, so I think that this is going to be a thread that where the initial thought process by Wall is this, you know, they're going to go after and kill Jesse. But this is something that's not going to be as simple. Like you said, and I think astutely so about Breaking Bad, is every beginning means so much. And the fact that that beginning was so out of place and we couldn't put our finger on it, and now we're starting to connect dots, which is not clear, this to me feels like, oh, this is a real smoking gun here. This something's going to happen with this. Something big is going to happen. But it feels like it would be too simple if that big was like, oh, they actually get Jesse. So I say all that to say I don't really have a clue yet, but I am very, very, very intrigued by this plot line.
Yeah, and no question about it. It's too simple to say Jesse's going to die in the next episode. I would be surprised if that were to happen. And remember, you can't leave, and this is where I think you can't leave Lydia out of the mix. I think Lydia will be a prominent figure in the next episode as a prediction. I think Lydia and Todd are kind of connected. I think they are kind of connected at the hip. So I think she will, and plus she missed this episode. So I think they're going to bring her back. I think she'll be a key figure in this next coming episode, to be honest with you. But no, it's not going to be that simple. The show has been throwing curveballs at us left and right the whole entire season. I mean, it's one curveball after another. It's jumping time. It's switching up openings. It's not connecting openings with endings. Yeah, like, so they're going to continue to do that. I think about this episode, and I want to get your thoughts overall on the episode. I read a lot of stuff, recaps on the episode, at least three or four recaps, and a lot of people had a problem with the episode as far as comparing it to the first three episodes. And a lot of people had a problem with Hank, with Jesse, with Hank and the whole Hank and Jesse hookup. Hank following Jesse. A lot of people had a problem with the Walt in terms of the lies, the lies. So I thought the episode was a very good episode. I thought I saw this type of episode coming because the first three episodes were like at breakneck pace. I said, there's no way you can do eight straight episodes like the first three episodes. Not so much in terms of quality, but in terms of just how fast everything was going. So to me, this was a perfect episode to set up, to allow the audience to catch a breath, so to speak, and set up four just off-the-chart episodes going moving forward. So I didn't have, I didn't have any problem with this episode. I was fine.
Yeah.
You were going to have an episode like this. So you'd rather, have an episode four than episode six or seven or five.
Yeah.
This was the time to get this kind of episode out of the way.
Yeah, no, it was to break down. And I don't even think out of the way. And I'm gonna rant. I'm about to go off on a rant. Because that, like, literally that thought process that you've heard, I've heard that talking to different people and everything, all the criticism and stuff that you said. So I'm not taking it from a personal standpoint, but I'm taking it from like all of these Johnny come latelys to Breaking Bad are frustrating me. And the reason that they're frustrating me is because I know how it's done. You get on Netflix, you watch eight in a row, you watch another eight in a row, you watch another, which is part of the brilliance and the greatness of the show, is that you want to gobble up anyone as much as you want. There's no There's no sense of evolution. And for those of us who've been watching Breaking Bad since the beginning or close to the beginning, we've seen this sense of evolution. And so for me, a moment where Marie and Jesse are in the same space and are like talking, that's a brilliant moment. That's been 5 years in the making, coming from a point where she was like, so there has been such a slow burn to a lot of stuff that's happening right now that if you watch it in a 3 week period, in a month period, even a 2 month, a 3 month, a 4 month, a 5 month period, you won't get the same satisfaction out of it. You can't get the same satisfaction out of it based off of those of us who've been watching it for a while. And so when I sit back in this season and I think about like what is happening, I'm just like, this is great, because like all of the what ifs, all of the, you know, when Walt, what happens when Walt, like how his family react, like all of this is becoming reality in front of our eyes. And it's just like such a crescendo of satisfaction that is happening that I feel like people who haven't watched it, I'll say it again, and anybody can come at me if they want to. I'll say it again. People who haven't watched it, they or haven't been watching it over the 5 year run, can't get. And so we can nitpick any show. We can nitpick little details and everything. How Breaking Bad plays with time is something that could be nitpicked at the entire realm. But if you're nitpicking the time frame of what Breaking Bad is doing, then you're missing the point of the show. You need to stop watching.
Boom.
Rant over.
Yeah. Listen, this is what people want, and this is the thing. But this is what separates some. This is what separates like The Wire and certain shows like that from just everybody. People want the over-dramatized action cliffhanger. People want microwave popcorn. They don't want to like think. And that was a thinking episode. Okay, that purely was a thinking episode. Like you really had to sit through that episode and like, man, I wonder what this time jumping is about. I wonder what, you know, about. It was a lot to go through with that particular episode. So the first three episodes, you had the dramatic event of Hank punching Walt. Everybody loved that.
Right.
Last episode, you had Jesse running into the house. Okay. The second episode, you had Ty killing Declan and that crew. So there were three and even a few. In that second episode, you had like at least three or four stuff, you know, Marie screaming at Skyler, that whole ordeal, that argument, debate with the baby.
Yeah.
So people like that emotion, that, you know, like I said, it's cliffhanger TV. People like that. People want to see, they want, you know, it's almost like a soap opera, it's like a soap opera, so to speak, in a way. So that's what people want. This episode was for the purists, the Breaking Bad purists. This wasn't an episode for the Johnny Come Latelys. This was not an episode for the Johnny Come Latelys. This was for the real hardcore Breaking Bad purists. And again, I had zero problem with the episode. I had no, when I went back and thought about, like, wow, Hank was following him this whole time, it made sense to me because I followed the show for a long time. Hank.
Yep.
I put stuff together. You're not putting that together if you're a Johnny Come Lately, because all you're thinking about is just the dramatic over action. That's all you're thinking about. You're not thinking about the simple scene. That was a simple scene in the previous episode with the secretary saying, "Are you going to really cancel that 3 o'clock?" Hank said, "You know what? I'm taking the rest of the day off."
Yeah.
Most people would miss that. Because there's nothing dramatic about that in terms of action. So again, This past episode was a perfect episode in terms of what it was able to accomplish, and in terms of the fact that it being halfway through this part of the season. It was a perfect, because it sets up so many things. I mean, it sets up so many things with Jesse still chasing Walt, with Todd and Lydia, you know, with that whole ordeal. So, like, I had, you know, what is Walt going to do about, you know, how is Walt going to come at Jesse other than, you know, besides Todd and with the, you know, besides Todd and the uncle and what have you. How's Jesse, no, the bigger question, how's Jesse going to come at Walt? So, you know, I can't, like I said, this is a thinking person's show, period. It's a thinking person's show, more than just about, almost more than almost any television show in the history ever outside of The Wire. It's a thinking person's show. So, again, if you want the over, again, if you want the soap operas and the over, you know, go watch General Hospital, whatever. They'll give it to you every time. They'll give you soap operas every Friday. You'll get that dramatic Friday cliffhanger that held you on edge until Monday. I used to watch them back in the day. I know how they work. Dynasty, Dallas, great shows. But again, this is real plot driven storyline television, character television, at its best. So no, this episode was fine. I had no problem with this particular episode. I do have a rant, a mini rant in regards to Jesse. I'm sick and tired of Jesse being viewed as this victim. I'm gonna tell you why. We'll go back to season three. When Jesse was semi out the game, Walt working with Gus Fring, and Jesse goes off and, you know, he's dating the girl, the son, he finds out that her brother was killed by the drug dealers, and he wants to go on this tangent and try to kill the drug dealers. Walt saves him, totally messes up his relationship with Fring. It wasn't the same after that. And people forget that. He saved Jesse's life. Now, we know Walt is Walt. Walt, like Jay said, he is the devil in many ways. But this whole Jesse being a victim and Jesse, people feeling sorry. I don't feel sorry for Jesse. I really don't. Because he knows Walt. He's allowed himself to be manipulated by Walt many times. I love the character of Jesse. I love he's an endearing character. He cares about people. He loves building relationships. I love those aspects of his character. But I'm not making Jesse out to be this victim. Like, dude, and that's the thing about this show. Everybody has dirt.
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah.
Everybody has dirt in some way.
That is accurate. It is a house of cards built off of pain, and off of pain of selling this awful product right there. But I do have to push back a little bit because I keep going back, and I will always go back to this scene as being the moment that Walt broke bad and the moment that fractured Jesse. And he was in a coke drip, like they were like that, but it fractured him in terms of when Walt let the girl die. And I think, like, that for me is part of the sympathy that I feel for Jesse in that moment, and then, like, all the huge chaos that happened afterwards because of that decision that Walt made, as being like one of those where it's just like, that was so bad, and that was so hurtful and destructive to Jesse that I think victim, yes, might be a little bit of a strong word, but you definitely have sympathy for all the things that Jesse has gone through, that Walt has put him through unknowingly. And I think that's the one that's like Walter didn't manipulate that, did anything. He was just cold-blooded in that moment, was thinking about himself, and knew the best thing for him was to let that girl die. And that was that's the piece that keeps drawing me back to Jesse and being like, yeah, no, I feel you. I feel you in a lot of these circumstances. But you're right.
Yeah,
he does keep going back to Walt.
That's a fair point. I mean, that's fair. But again, that one thing, I agree with you. That was where Walt to me broke bad from in season two. But again, I don't look at Jesse. again, I don't look at him as sympathetic as a lot of people do. To be honest with you, you know me. When everybody goes in one direction, I start questioning. Like, do I really want to go in that direction? And I'm like, I just kept hearing it over and over again, as if Jesse hasn't done anything. Like, I'm like, dude, this guy, he came from a good home, so he chose to do drugs. He chose to be this fake quasi pseudo drug dealer, which he wasn't. And I'm like, again, the decision he made in season three to kill those two drug dealers set off the Gil Bedecker killing. It set off the Gus Fring. It set off all those things. The Mike, I mean, even with Mike, he wouldn't ever know who Mike was had he not made that decision. Like, I think, and I just thought about this, I think Walt has a soft place in his heart for Jesse. But I think Walt, in his way, thinks that he owes Jesse and Jesse owes him. He owing Jesse that, and Walt knowing the fact that what he did to Jane, but the flip side is saying, like, dude, Gus Fring was going to kill you, and I saved your life when I had everything, and everything was perfect for me. I was making $18 million a year, I had my own personal cook. You weren't even in the picture, so I think that kind of thing went through my mind too when I was going with the whole Jesse as this victim per se and this empathetic figure. So I'm a sympathetic figure. So I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting with the dynamic between those two. In the last 3 minutes or so, our predictions have been, your prediction was right. I think we both were right. We both were right from the standpoint that you predicted that Jesse. I kind of had Skylar from that standpoint. So I think we've both been somewhat right from those two predictions. But moving forward, what curveballs did you see moving forward as possible curveballs?
Wow. Here's what I'll say about Breaking Bad. It's kind of like the NBA season, right? Like, we pretty much know who the title contenders are. We can pretty much nail it down to, like, four teams who are going to be there at the end. But that road there, it goes circular, so all over the place that you just can't predict it. And so I think Breaking Bad, I think we're going towards a Walt-Jesse showdown. I think that's where we're going. But the way that we're getting there is going to be is all circular. So I think curveballs that I can think about in the next episode would be, what does Jesse mean by hit him where he lives?
He lives. Yeah, I forgot to bring that up.
It's not his home.
Right. Not
I
his
think
home.
He means Walter's sense of self. Like, I think he means, like, he's going to pull the veil from people's eyes and reveal Walt for what he truly is. I think that's what he means. I don't know exactly how he gets there. And then I'm so intrigued about what the young boy and his uncle are going to do. I see that as almost like a misdirection, like with the cousins, like where we, like, it looks like they're on a crash course for Jesse, and then something veers them off. I don't know what that is, though.
Here's the thing.
They go off track. I don't know.
when he made that statement, hit him where he lives, and you think about it, what is Walt's biggest weakness? And it kind of takes me back to the movie Devil's Advocate, with vanity being, you know, Keanu Reeves' weakness was vanity, and Al Pacino took advantage of that. Walt's biggest weakness, as we all know, is pride. His pride, you can combine that with his ego, but mainly it's his pride.
Yeah.
So what could he do to hit Walt, to hurt Walt's pride? Not even so much killing him. The easy part is killing him. But hit him, this is why I have to give Jesse, where your prediction stands up from the standpoint of him, taking him out possibly, from not so much killing him, but just like being an intricate part of his demise. And you know what else it opens up? It opens up the fact that there might be something lurking towards the end that Walt gets, that Walt, that's worse for Walt, that's worse than death for Walt. That's worse than death. So, how could he hurt Walt's pride? And again, I don't have any prediction from that standpoint, but how can he hurt Walt's pride the most?
Here's what I think, because I think we're both saying the same thing, and I think we're both on to something. I wonder, because it was like the main thing, going back to that Gomez and conversation, where it's like, this will, it'll just be his word against his. I wonder if Jesse actually thought of some proof. Because that went through my mind, where it's like, all this time y'all been together, and there's nothing tangible you have to connect Walt to all of this. And so I wonder if Jesse doesn't have something there. And then my prediction to that would be, it's something deep, like you would have to go back and rewatch. Like, I think it's something, if he does have something, it's something deep that we've forgotten about. Or that has been, it was one of those off moments, which would go to the intricacies of this episode, like where everything, the devil's in the details. And this was an episode where it was like, this is about the details. And so that one statement at Jesse at the end is like, huh, I wonder what detail he might have that we as an audience didn't take into account, and that Walt has definitely not taken into account.
And the genes of this show, this is what makes the genes of this show. It could be something that happened in season two.
Something.
You don't know. And the thing that just came to mind to me also, too, in terms of his pride, and I'm thinking about, what does he care about the most other than, the money? And one question that hasn't been answered, in terms of hasn't been dealt with, that I'm kind of waiting for, is the son. And not so much killing the son.
Yep. No.
But
revealing his true self.
But yes, revealing his true self towards his son, and his son finding out what he really is. That was
right. That's what I meant. Yeah, Jesse revealing the true Walt, the son.
That would be definitely a possibility.
Yeah,
and that would hurt. Those are the only human moments Walt has, basically, are with his son. I didn't mention because I didn't think it was that important, but it was somewhat important, where at the hotel where he hugs his son. He cares about what his son feels about him. He absolutely cares about what the legacy. We've seen him break down with his son a couple of times. So, yeah, that they still have that ace up their sleeve in terms of how they're going to go about, if they choose to, how they're going to go about his son and deal with that dynamic. So it's so many different things. Like, I can't even imagine being in that writer's room, because it's just like, you just don't know what they do. They have so many things that they can pull from that we don't even know about. Like, it's crazy. Well, thank you, sir. I'm looking forward to episode 513. And, you brought this up. I know how I'm going to navigate. I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to navigate Sunday Night Football, Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad. It's like, that could be one of the best entertainment.
It's an embarrassment of riches. It's an embarrassment of riches. It's almost too, you know what it is, though? It's like, the way that I look at it, it's like we've gone through the off season football, basketball in hiatus in their off season. Like this is the payoff of our patience and our diligence. Like we're getting like, huh, September's here. Ooh, it's like, yeah, all of it, like, yeah, all of it now. Here you go. Enjoy.
Yeah, we deserve it. We absolutely deserve it. Well, looking forward to it. I will talk to you next week.
All right, sir.
All right. Now, of course, was Robert Sapp. Thank him for joining us, as always. And I can't wait to 5:13. And I don't even know the title of the next episode, but you know what? I really don't want to know it because I just want to stay in the moment of one of the greatest shows in television history. This is Cyril Quinn wrapping up the Cyril Quinn Review. Have a great evening. See you next time.